Elixir.
Blog Talk Radio.
Elixir, the working title for a two-hour motion picture epic that it may be if I can get a crew and cast assembled with financing. I once had a friend, a lady friend, who changed her mind about herself. She changed her mind about herself and her experience with me 1, 2, 10, and 20 years divergent from our experience together. This is dedicated to her. It's kind of like a bicentennial man or a Forrest Gump, and it begins in 1725. A married couple walking around, the ladies' baby bump showing, not the heads of the couple at all, a couple of minutes to introduce the world of 1725. And then the baby is born, and we see this child, little girl, frolicking and playing about in England, and she's putting on a show and putting black makeup on her face with her friends and playing the Moor in Othello for a few lines there from Shakespeare's play. And she grows up considerably fast. Within the first 10 minutes, she's in her 20s. And she's married already to a lovely husband. But they're having problems with fertility, and he wants a child. She's not getting pregnant. So he advises her that he knows of an American scientist in France. And the movie is well underway when she arrives in France, explores France, and meets this gentleman, scientist, who happens to be a young Ben Franklin. Ben gives her an elixir, but she fails to get pregnant. And at 25 years old, Elixir remains 25 for the rest of the years that she lives, which is 300 years. So Ben gets chased away by the husband, who's erratic and upset. And Ben goes back to England, and we move the story toward the time of the revolution. And Ella, we see her start to transform from an illness to not ill at all. That's her journey that she's going to take us through. So the war goes on off screen. Well, she travels between England and France looking for this man, Ben, and getting chased, too, because she has this curious condition. And she's in France at the time of the French Revolution, 1789. I drafted this outline all in my head last night as a meditation before I went to sleep. Now I'm trying to recite it for my team awaiting me in England, London, my film team, my art team. The calculation I made at the beginning of this podcast, the 1, 2, 10, and 20 years mind change about our experience together is not scientific at all. It's based on a humanities perspective of the art, life, and experience we've shared and not shared together. So this lady, Ella Shear, what happens? She goes from, by the time we're at the end of the first act, we know her condition, but she's mysteriously 25 years old, who does not age. And she's quite lovely. But she's flawed in the personal relationship sense and searching. So after the time of the revolution, we move to a period during which she meets, after coming back home to England from France, a young woman who wrote a book called The Wave. And she gets into a romantic relationship with that author for the first couple of decades in the early 19th century, before embarking on her first trip to the Americas on a slave ship. And on the ship of slaves on her way to America in about 1825, after the passing of that author, tragic as that is, and her lover, she recalls being a youth and puts black makeup on her face and tries to entertain the slaves on the ship while they're on their way to the America. And she arrives there, and for the next period of the film, she explores Baltimore and meets not only Edgar Allan Poe, but his little cousin, who he adores. And there's some work to be done there creatively as well and poetically, because she is going to move from Baltimore to Philadelphia searching for her Big Ben in the 40s of the 1800s. And that's just before take pause. This is a lot of coverage last night. Something happens between that and her move up to Philadelphia. Oh, yeah. In Philadelphia is when she experiences the 100-year anniversary of the independence of the United States, looking for Ben in 1876. And again, the Civil War happens off screen. We're getting a taste of El Asher. And that's just before she makes the Western trip out west for the next 20 or so years. And mind you, in this two-hour movie, the decades pass on average within a four-minute time period. So that these are the Western movements of El Asher, but it's very fast-paced movement and quite eloquent, too, because it's El Asher. She gets out into Hollywood at about the turn of the century and decides, because she has a youthful look, she's always 25, to co-mingle for the next two decades, 1900, 1920, or 25, for her 200th birthday, with the old silent greats of cinema. Again, that's a period of about 10 to 15 minutes on the reel. But even that does not, it's not enough to quiet the passion and search for El Asher, because while they want her on screen, she wants to be directing. She takes up directing the Hollywood greats. But she doesn't find Ben. Doesn't find her love, and we have to figure out what happened to her husband in England. Maybe they just broke it off because she couldn't have a baby. Conclusion of that subplot in Hollywood, she meets a woman and a man by by the name of Amelia and Fred and takes up flying with them, gets into a love affair with Amelia, outrages Fred, and the next thing we know, we have these two women gathering up their parachutes on Japan's islands. And thanks to a scene earlier, which I did not announce yet, when she was back in Jolly Old, younger, much younger in the story progression, there were a stack of books with languages which she nonchalantly hit, one of which was Japanese. She's had all this time, much more than us on this planet. So when we're in Japan with her new lover, Amelia, he speaks Japanese quite fluently. The problem with that is it's around the time of the beginning of World War II. So she and Amelia end up flying with Japanese economists to Central Europe and for the next 10 or 15 minutes experience life as prisoners in a concentration camp. When they get out of that, she returns to England between 1945 and 55 and 65, that's another 8 minutes, and 75 before returning back to America and meeting a young chap by the name of Bill Gates, who's founding a company with computers for the next 10 years in America, before Ella Shear disembarks again to South America between 1895 and 2020. She remains in South America. The gentleman Hispanic falls in love and then begins to age. And in the last 2 minutes of the movie, which is equivalent to about 5 years, in 2025 this century, we see the denouement, and she ends up getting on the boat again, traveling not with slaves, but to South Antarctica, where she naturally freezes herself before the elixir expires. That's the first draft of Alice here. It has work to do, but if we had a budget, this thing could be done in no time. It could be out by 2025. The little four-minute vignette was decades between 1725 and 2025. Well, thank you, and good night, and hope to have you on the team. Bye-bye. Michael Anthony Norton, Michael A. Norton, sir, at gmail.com, +1-424-395-GLANORTON-SIR@gmail.com, +1-424-395-6236, writer, director, Ella Shear, the elixir of a tricentennial woman in the vein of Forrest Gump.